You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
When we talk about fintech and e-commerce, the imagination immediately jumps to bustling cities, right? Your Santons, your Nairobis, the fintech hubs with glass ceilings or glass buildings and fast fiber and QR codes on every corner. But the true revolution is the one that has the power to transform livelihoods. It's happening far from the city skyline. Out in the rural towns where cash still rules, where the closet bank branch might be, or the closest bank branch might be 40 kilometers away, where entrepreneurs run brilliant businesses with limited tools, and where a single digital breakthrough can change an entire community's economic story. Fintech has given us speed, has given us access and efficiency, but it has also exposed the big question we must confront tonight. What happens to the people still left out of the digital revolution? Because for all the progress we've made, millions of micro, small, and medium enterprises, and almost every rural region on the continent still operates outside the financial system. And it's not because they're not ambitious. It's because they lack the infrastructure, the connectivity, the data, the trust, or simply the invitation to participate. Yet inside that gap lies the greatest opportunity, the chance to build solutions that aren't just profitable, but totally inclusive, totally transformative, and are tailored for the unique rhythm of rural life. So tonight we will look at the challenges and the extraordinary potential of fintech and e-commerce in rural Africa. And joining me for this conversation is Dr. Ndeki Ndlela. Doc, welcome back to Business Sense.
Thank you very much, Mpome. Good evening.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you very much.
All righty. Let's begin with the heart of the matter, right? From your vantage point, what is the single biggest barrier that prevents rural communities from fully participating in the digital financial ecosystem?
Thank you, Mpumi, for that question. You know what? I want us to imagine our grandmother out there in the Lalis, in the Eastern Cape, or wherever you live in Kenya. I don't know what the rural areas in Kenya are, or Zimbabwe, the heart of Cholocho. Our grandmother there, who is probably selling my hair to the neighborhood, right? And her customers come and they pay in cash, right? And which is obviously a risk for an old grandmother, right? Sure. But then, try and convince her that, you know what, there's a simpler way to keep your money in the, you know, in the digital platforms. I think there's a lack of knowledge there to try and convince Ugogo to say, okay, if I move my money, will it be safe? I mean, this is like a platform. I don't know who is on the other end of this phone. And I'm talking about that, Mbumi, without even realizing that, okay, to get to a cash-in, cash-out center, somebody would have to travel like your 40 kilometers into town to ensure that they then deposit their money. Yeah. But how much is the trip from the Lalis right into the town? Mm. So besides the, you know, the absence of trust, there's also the friction between the bridge between the cash life and the digital accounts, in that then it would need travel to go into towns. And also, I mean, and this is something that actually even worries us, you know, the modern transactor, you know, the know your customer. You know, it sounds easy to people in the financial spaces that, you know, we can just get people to do their KYC.
Yeah.
But it means you now also require people to be actually properly, formally registered in the country. They need to then have the IDs. Mm-hmm. So do we assume that everybody in the Lalis is formally registered? Mm-hmm. So these are some of These are some of the issues that actually, and I kind of feel that also just the fear of the adoption of these services is more to do with trust rather than the raw connectivity of our digital platforms.
And the truth is, whether we like it or not, and whether we care to admit it or not, rural entrepreneurs are incredibly resourceful. So I'd love to hear from you. What are some of the overlooked strengths or behaviors we've seen that fintech can actually build on instead of trying to replace?
So I think they can actually build on the strong social networks that these rural entrepreneurs have.
Mm.
So in the rural area, you actually know your customer by name.
This is true.
You know that. Yes, you know. And you actually almost know what is Dr. Ndegi going to come and buy and when is she going to come and buy it.
Mm.
So, you know, you have, you know, I mean, you are operating with your family, with your church, with your stock falls, with your elders, the ones that you actually live with and you can trust. Mm. So, I mean, And you actually you know the trust is so much that you know when you then give them your goods, you know exactly like I said when they're going to pay, and even if they don't pay, right, because you have this strong social network. Imagine me knowing that Mbomi knows that I haven't paid our elder who is running a little small business.
Yeah.
So I think that also just forces the people in the rural network space to be trustworthy rather. Yeah. And you know, just that trust also it's actually a credit behavior.
For sure.
Which these financial tech companies can actually take advantage of, you know, and then they go and digitalize. I mean, they go and teach, digitalize and score on, because already there's a credit score.
Yeah.
Unlike some of us in the towns where it's very actually difficult to get and maintain a proper a credit score.
Yeah.
And you know, because all these rural entrepreneurs, like it's a one-stop shop, Mpumi. Yeah, so there's Ndegi and Sons there in Umlaas.
Mm.
I'm operating in Umlaas and I'm selling airtime, I'm selling groceries, I'm selling fertilizer, one stop shop.
Mm.
So it's easy for then the fintech to then take advantage of these systems because of the combined services that these rural entrepreneurs actually carry out. And then obviously, you know how it is, the butter trade. Mm. It can also be a form of a credit scoring. Yeah, it can be, because then you can then take advantage of the crop yields. You know the livestock cycles. Mm. You know exactly that if I give you fertilizer, right?
Yeah.
In ten months' time, I have a crop yield. So yeah, that's alternative credit scoring rather than just saying do you have a formal account, have you paid it well in the rural areas. The very fact that I can trust you with my fertilizer for 10 months and then you bring in crop is also a way that these fintechs can actually take advantage of. And obviously the predictable cash flows. Remember, I say it even for the entrepreneur. They know exactly when Uma so and so is going to come. On a Wednesday, Degi definitely comes to buy bread, or she comes to buy flour, or just in time for the Sabbath to prepare for the meal. So you know exactly what your day looks like. So I think fintech companies can actually take advantage of these inherent advantages that the rural space has.
And, you know, when we think about the exclusion of people in the rural areas, we often just peg the issue to connectivity. But I think rural markets are also shaped by culture. They're shaped by trust, like you said, as well as tradition. So how do these human factors then influence the adoption of fintech and e-commerce tools?
So I think, how it is in the rural spaces where there's a culture of sharing, there's a culture of communality. So you know how it is when I have a yield, I then share it with my neighbors. Mm. In that way, we then build trust, right? And then as we build trust, I then go to my neighbor and I actually talk about these digital platforms. And I tell my neighbor, you know what, from my user experience, I found this works for me. I mean, it keeps my money. Because also when you're holding on to cash, right, you then spend it.
This is true.
Anyhow.
Yeah.
If you are like me, Mpumi.
Hey, Maliak Shisa.
I must never have cash at any point.
Exactly.
Yes. So from the user experience of actually saving money. So if I then go and say to my neighbor, you know what, I'm now on the digital platform, chances are my neighbor will also want to be a part of that. In the rural areas also, decisions are almost communal, you know. Mm. If my neighbor is doing, like, we literally go together to their shops, we do go together to church, we go together to meetings. And as we are going together, we are spreading that we're spreading that trust, and we want to do things together.
No, I hear you. And at this point, I do want us to talk about MSMEs, right? The spaza shops, the farmers, the crafters, the small traders. What opportunities does fintech unlock for these businesses that were previously impossible?
In fact, before I even go on to that, I'd actually forgotten that, you know, these digital platforms can actually even encourage the payment of lobola digitally.
Oh.
You know, they can go and sponsor a wedding and so get people to understand the digital platforms. But coming on to your questions, I think you see, once the rural entrepreneurs knows it, that, you know, digital payments can actually reduce theft, and they can reduce travel, so you don't have to be going into town to try and do a transaction, you know. And then obviously the small loans, because I know it's called M-Pesa in Kenya, and
yes.
EcoCash in Zimbabwe.
Yes.
You know, it offers as like a small term credit facility. You know, so if you've run out of cash, then you have this small little loan, which should be sufficient for a rural setting, you know, like your Kenyan 10 Kenyan shillings or 10 Zimbabwean dollars, or that can just, you know, get me going for the next week or so as I wait for my pension or something like that. And then, yeah, obviously then it helps with bulk purchases, because now I'm not carrying I'm not carrying cash. Yeah, and then obviously the targeted, like, for instance, then the targeted saving buckets for school fees and or stock expansion. You know, if we then take advantages of these digital platforms to actually save our money for fees, because also you are saying to yourself, okay, so if I put this money in M-Pesa or in EcoCash, right, for me to then travel, to go to town, it will, you know what, it's not something that I'll do instantly. So then you are saving for school fees. I mean, January is coming and you are saving for stock expansion. Yeah. And then you know what? In fact, it makes the entrepreneur very investable if you ask me.
That makes so much sense to me. It really does. Yet and still, many of these entrepreneurs still operate almost fully in cash. How do we bridge the trust gap then between digital tools and users who fear fraud and hidden fees or complexity? Because these are new systems, and new systems come with a lack of trust.
Mm-hmm. That is so true, Bumi. And even in the town life, what is important to know is that trust is built, Mpumi, and it takes a long time to build trust. Trust cannot be argued into existence. Mm-hmm. Trust building is actually a practical move. Mm-hmm. So what the agents would need to do is to actually network with community anchors, you know, because you know there are those people in the community that are thought leaders, the ones that are respectable. I think so the agent networks would need to find themselves in those people's spaces and talking about these, and maybe offering, you know, a trial period kind of set up. And then also just to be very clear and be upfront on the fees, because you know what? Also, yes, it may sound good that we're offering digital platforms, and then you are not clear about the charges that you are going to levy on the transaction. So if you are very clear, I mean, if you can do a poster that really explains clearly what your fees are, so that whoever wants to take advantage of these digital money platforms knows exactly what amount they would have to pay. And obviously the rollout, Mpumi, would have to be slow and small, so that you then get, you know what, then you get these rural people to trust you with this, with their pilot transactions, to trust you, and so that we then get the word of mouth that I spoke to earlier, so that people can actually say, you know, I put my money in for so much, and when I needed it for school fees, I went and got help. And you know, these providers would then also need to really partner. I'm imagining partnering with churches, partnering with the stock fells, also just to cause a trust to be elevated.
Yeah.
And even I'm thinking partner with schools even. Mm. Yeah?
Mm.
Partner with schools so that you know you at least you know how it is in the rural areas where people really trust the headmaster and the teachers, you know. Mm. Yeah, so if the headmaster actually says this is good for the rural people, they will take it to mean it is good. So if we partner with schools, maybe then let's say to say, okay, if you pay through the digital platforms, then you receive a 5% discount in the schools in the school fees, you know, something like that.
And one of the most exciting developments is mobile money. I mean, us who are in the urban areas are enjoying this, right? It saves us time. It saves us the hassle. It's much safer, except for when they throw you in your car and they drive around with you asking for your passwords. But that's not the point of this conversation. But in your opinion, what is the next big digital innovation that will change life for rural users?
So I think, you know what, these onboarding models actually need to work on the ground, Mpumi.
Okay.
They need to work on the ground where we go and pick out peer champions, you know? Yeah, that will then empower the local shopkeepers, you know, when the respected elders teach other the other neighbors, right? And then maybe we have, did you say the next big digital innovation for rural users? Yes.
Yeah.
So what we are saying is that I think it will be the practical game-changing innovation. Like the like when we say we create wallets that work without necessarily having network. If we can then sync when we are online, so that there's seamless integration between the local cash agents and then the actual working of the. Of the digital platforms, because remember I told you that as much as connectivity is also a fear, trust is also a fear. But I'm saying if we can then, because connectivity is a fear, if we can then take care of that, where we say even when there is no network, right, we can always sync back later. Then at least it gives the person, you know, the steadiness of heart that, you know what, I won't get to the shops and then there's no network and then I can't do my transactions. I think if we can have such innovation, like, you know, where we have agent integrated digital wallets, so to speak. This is all it can be done in the AI space, actually, so that we take care of the fear of no connectivity. I think that's the next big innovation for the rural users. In fact, like I'm saying, the fear of connectivity, just in simple terms, the fear of connectivity, if we can attend to the fear of connectivity by ensuring that we have a backup. Obviously, the backup also must be. I think because with technology now, you are able to tell how much is in the digital wallet. So you then where you ring fence what the wallet can pay. What you call this when you give
the digital limit?
Yes, you know what, when you then can allow the user to use a certain amount because of the history of the account, what is in the account, you link it with your AI. I know it sounds complicated. This is the kind of I'm also just falling over myself and trying to explain it.
Yeah, I mean, it is an innovation, so it will take a while for us to actually wrap our minds around it. So don't even stress. I am wondering though, what role should the government play, and what should definitely be left in the hands of innovators and private sector players?
So the government should definitely, I mean, enable the infrastructure and regulation. And what do I mean by that? The IT systems, Mpumi, we need to go out there to ensure that people have the correct IDs. You know, that the basic digital identity, so that we are able to operate, you know, and also just... so that we can curb fraud, you know, we know who you are, where you come from, so that you also, you know, the consumer and the service provider is actually protected. And obviously we can also support financial literacy programs, you know. We need to go out there and ensure that we teach on the basics of finance, and obviously on good stewardship of these finances in the cash and in the digital platforms. And then obviously we need to come up with culturally acceptable user experiences, right? Yeah, like I try to like I tried to explain, that we take advantage even of our barter trades, and then allow the processes like to come to full completion. You know, even if it's gonna take 10 months, because we know that at a certain time there's a harvest, so there's going to be money, and we just need to keep but I think obviously we need to ensure that our connectivity, like I'm saying, in fact, the word I was trying to come up with earlier on was to have a buffer, like so that when connectivity is low, you know, you have a buffer in the account, so that somebody doesn't travel kilometers and kilometers to try and transact, and then at the end of the day, connectivity is low and they can't transact.
Now, this one is going to put you in the hot seat. If you could design a perfect rural fintech ecosystem, what three things would be non-negotiable for you?
Wow. Okay. So number one, trust. Okay. That is, you know, the cash in, cash out infrastructure.
Yeah.
Will we have abundant trust with the agents? Mm. So that we can rely on those ones. So trust. Mm-hmm. And then the simplicity of transaction, without the know your customer kind of thing, especially if we cannot then avail IDs to all these people in the rural areas, and then just the transparency. So I said, I'm talking about trust, I'm talking about simplicity, and I'm talking about transparency in consumer protection and dispute resolution, right? Mm-hmm. Where there's a fast local recourse in the clarity of the fees that we are charging, mm-hmm. and how we operate generally. So it would take obviously the teaching of the people in the community, but trust, simplicity, and transparency.
That's fair, because it is a new thing, but also you're capitalizing or leveraging what a currency that already makes sense to them. Trust is a strong currency in the rurals. Mm-hmm. And so because they already have that, you would want to also come in securing that or providing that. So that makes all the sense in the world. And finally, for the young entrepreneur who's somewhere in a rural village listening to us right now, who has big dreams but obviously limited tools, what is the one piece of digital advice that could change their future?
I think the advice would be, actually, before I even quickly go on to advice, I bought some goods from a lady in town, and I'm also in town. Mm. And then because I was going to pay later, right, she didn't even write a receipt or anything. Mm. She wrote in our WhatsApp chat.
Wow.
That, okay, I owe so much money. Mm. So, you know, you can come up with WhatsApp invoices, you come up with WhatsApp invoices. So you make every transaction count and make every transaction digital. Mm. So by writing on our WhatsApp chat, she was making the transaction digital. Mm. So once the transaction is digital, you can't lose it, right? Mm. So there won't be any dispute into, no, I didn't take goods worth 2,000 rand.
Mm.
There's a trail. Mm. Yeah. So when you start recording, right, you are creating a trail. Mm. And these digital records then become your credit history. Remember, we said sometimes the fact that we don't have the usual credit history, but we've got credit history because we go and take bread, and then we pay at the end of the week when we sold my hair, or we take fertilizer, and then we go and pay for it after 10 months when we have harvested our crop. Mm. So it makes tax and planning easier, and then we also build trust between suppliers and customers. And you know, it's a small habit. That then leads to visible credibility, and then it leads to access to credit and markets. Mm. Because in our small way, we are creating our own credit history. And to think how difficult to create a credit history is in the town. But in the rural areas, I think it's so easy. So in a nutshell, for me, I think that is what we can do, my dear. Mm. Mm.
Have you spoken to the digital dreamer or to the young entrepreneur?
Yes. I did in this last one. Mm. Where I'm saying that, remember, where I'm saying that every digital record counts.
Yeah.
So every, even if it's small, even if it's creating a WhatsApp invoice, yes, you are going onto the digital space, right? And then as you go into the digital space, you are creating trust in that system. And then so it will be easier to then also trust the system with your hard-earned cash.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I think for me, what this conversation highlights or reminds me is that innovation is only powerful when it reaches the margins. You know, when it gives voice to the unseen entrepreneur, it really has power when it turns a remote village into a thriving digital marketplace. And I think these big organizations or these big corporates are missing out on so much. They're leaving money on the table. I remember earlier in the year, I interviewed a guy who is very big on the township economy. And he's like, there are billions circulating in the township economy. But because we don't, the metrics that banks are using are not tailored for us, they're not even looking at us or targeting us. But if we, as people who understand the economy or the township economy and have got these ideas, if we can capitalize on it and solve problems that locals can afford to have solved, then we would be really advancing and elevating ourselves. And I really believe that a similar thing is the case, or the similar thing is the case with the rural markets. And that's powerful innovation as well. When it collapses the distance between opportunity and the people who deserve it, it really does a huge, huge deal. And I think we also need to say, though, that rural inclusion is not charity. We're not doing anybody a favor. It is the next frontier of economic possibility. These are people who are running real businesses, who are innovative in one way or another, just don't have resources and don't have the podiums that will elevate them and show people what they are doing. And I really think that if we can lean into it, we would be doing our African commerce a huge, huge, huge justice and service. So thank you so much for lending us your wisdom on this conversation. Anything else you'd like to say as we wrap up?
Yes, Mpumi, because I also then forgot to then add, to the upcoming new users, we also need to simplify our platforms, even translating them into the local languages, right? So that they are easy to understand.
Yeah.
So that people then, where we also then pay new users with people who are now experienced as well. And just maybe to also communicate the advantages in the normal storytelling. Remember, in the rural area, storytelling is very popular. So like in the rural areas, people really love to listen to the radio.
Oh, sure.
So then if we now do a radio drama and jingles, so that as they listen, to the radio, they also get to learn. So translating these instructions into the localized languages and just also to incentivize the small users that, after every 5 transactions, maybe we give you something.
Yeah.
But it's really exciting, and it's something that, I think these fintech companies should actually, you did rightfully say, money is lying. And that money that is, I'm in corporate. and some of my markets are in the rural areas, you'll be so shocked the money that is circulating in the rural areas.
Yeah.
So us in town, sometimes we don't have that much money, but the money that is in the rural areas, it's always amazing.
Yeah.
You see a cocoa with their money in a sugar in a sugar plastic bag and it's tight and put away somewhere.
Yeah.
So there's so much money
100%.
In the rural areas that fintechs can actually take advantage of.
100%. And
those
I think,
are my thoughts.
Yeah, and I think another thing that makes it a great opportunity is that their money is not tied down to debt burdens like houses and cars.
Exactly.
So if there's liquidity to be had, or if there's liquidity to be chased, it's right there in the rural.
Yes. Yes, you rightfully say. So it's the 25th of the month today here in towns.
Mm.
We're thinking, oh my God, the debit or the card debit
order. I say echo.
Such that we don't like the 25th of every month, you know. After, you know, you just wish it would come and go, and then you just go back to your broke state. But yet in the rural areas, there is money that we are leaving untapped there. That could very well then create interest for us in the fintech spaces.
100%.
Yeah.
Oh man, thank you for a lovely conversation, dog. Have a lovely evening.
I enjoyed it. Thank you so much. For me,
cheers.
Have a good evening.
You too.
Okay, then.
And with that, I am Nompumelelo Mbonani, and I hope you have just made sense of your business. Fresh mercies tomorrow. Ciao for now.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.